shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that I'm belching just the way...
belching just like Dave Oliver done.
Sorry. That's always something. It must be the diet that I'm on, you know.
Yeah, I think you ate a lot of romaine lettuce.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have eaten a lot of romaine lettuce.
Yeah, that'll do it.
How do you know?
I don't know. Sound like a dog. Yeah, if you eat a lot of greenery...
If I eat a lot of greenery, huh?
Yeah, you eat a lot of greenery. Supposedly, the bowel movements is good. And
all right, easy, man. Let's not get into that. If you don't mind, every time I talk about being on a diet, it doesn't doesn't mean we have to get into, you know, discussions of that nature. Welcome to the show. And our final hour here in news and information, we have Harvey Wireman, who's going to join us on the military and Secret Service. Brouhaha, it may even erupt into a scandal. I always think scandal means something that is going to bring someone's career to an end, you know? That's what I think a scandal is. A brouhaha or a contretemps or just a bunch, you know, boys being boys, that's just some guys that are, hey, man, you're off the post, you know, you guys are... But this may be a scandal. By that, I mean there might have been illegal activity involved. I don't know, but Harvey's going to be with us. He is an attorney at law, a defense attorney, and we'll be talking with us about that coming up here. It's our news and information hour, so we're going to have Bud and Robert alongside with us here. And go ahead and put the... there you go, Bud. Thank you very much. And by the way, we were talking about Twitter. Twitter is a disease, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not on Twitter, I would, if I were you, consider yourself to be smarter than the average bear. Seriously, there are people that have to be. I have to be because my job is in the media.
Wait, why do you have to be though?
Because my job's in the media. My whole job is trying to keep tabs on what's going on in this world. Trying to keep tabs on what people are doing, trying to keep tabs on what people are thinking, trying to keep tabs on what the hell's going on. I gotta, you know.
But I tell you, it's a hell of a deal have a job like yours and not even like to do it.
Who said I don't like my job?
Well, you said you don't want to do Twitter.
Well, that ain't my job. My job's radio. There's certain ways of staying in touch with the culture that I like... Going to a ball game, I'm staying in touch with people. I see people. I see them with their children. I see them with their spouses. I see them having fun. I see them getting angry. You know, going out into the world. But sitting around on my dead ass reading Twitter tweets. But that's the way everybody's doing it. So we were talking about it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this or not, but Facebook, I believe, just purchased. Am I right that Facebook purchased another social networking site, feature, thing, app, I don't know. To me, it's an app because I don't think I've ever been to the Instagram site. And that's Instagram. And now what is this? These are pictures that you take and you tweet them out there. Pictures. Now, taking pictures is one thing, and we've been taking pictures since there have been cameras. But now with the new special effects apps that you can get, and I've got one here. You see this one, Bud? What's that called?
That's called Be Funky.
Be Funky. So I got one of these. What does it do? It makes all kinds of effects on the picture. And there's a picture here that, look at this, Be Funky. Look at that.
Wow.
That makes me look like I got sun rays coming out of my head. All right, the whole point that I'm making is now you can't resist taking pictures because you can mess around and make all kinds of weird looking things with them. And then you put them out there on your little, you know, picture feed. And that's another way to waste precious, valuable time. Now, all of this is well and good, and I know what you're saying. You're saying, Phil, why talk about it? Why don't you just knock it off? I can't. I'm addicted the same way that I was to cigarettes and am currently to food. No, I'm not addicted to food. Well, I am addicted to food, but I've got it under control. I can't because I have to do it because that's what everybody's doing. And I've really gotten tired of the whole notion of followers. To me, that's just, you know... Yeah, on Twitter you have followers. On Instagram you got followers. Everybody's Jesus all of a sudden. Everyone's got followers, you know.
Yeah, Lamar Reese and Mahesh Yogi and something like that. Yeah, I was thinking about that guy what had an ashram.
Remember the guy that... Bud, back it off the thing.
Turn it down, man. No, remember the guy that had an ashram in Oregon?
In Oregon?
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Well, the guy had an ashram in Oregon.
Yeah, I know what his name was. His name was Raj Fanin.
Raj Fanin? No. Oh, I know what it was.
Yeah, it was Raj Fanin.
It wasn't Raj Fanin. That's the guy that has the freaking family in business. Rajneesh.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Rajneesh.
Yeah, that guy was in Oregon, huh? Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, that's what we are. That's what Twitter has turned us all into. We know we have our followers, you know. I might as well. I can start my own freaking religion, man. I got like 11,000 followers on Twitter. I can start my own faith, my own religion. You know, these are all my followers.
Think of how many Howard Stern can start. He could get a religion.
Howard's got like a million people following him. He could start his own country. He could be the president of his own country. And by the way, speaking of Howard Stern, there's news, and the news is this, that the lawsuit that he filed against Sirius XM saying that they owed him money was dismissed by the judge. And
you're kidding.
No, and it apparently had to do, in the judge's view, with what was meant by bonus money. And this all came down to Sirius promising Howard a certain amount of money when it came to bonuses for the number of subscribers that they had. Well, in the middle of all of this, they purchased XM. They merged with XM. That brought on board a certain number of subscribers. And I think Howard was claiming that there were subscribers from XM that wanted to listen to his show and indeed did access his show by way of a channel on XM called The Best of Sirius or something. But people were subscribing to that channel because they wanted Howard Stern. They were XM subscribers, and the only way they could get Howard Stern was this channel on XM called The Best of Sirius. It was the Sirius programming that was brought over. So they were claiming that they were owed bonus money for that and that they had not been paid. The judge gave Sirius XM a summary ruling. They requested a ruling. They said, on the validity of the suit, they said, here are our arguments. We think the lawsuit is just not valid. It's not even worth going to court over. And the argument made was that while Howard Stern was entitled to money having to do with bonus money paid from Sirius, he was not entitled to any bonus money from XM. Because it didn't meet certain standards, et cetera, so on and so forth. So the judge ruled in Sirius's favor, and I would just say this, because as you know, I'm no fan of radio management, and I have my reasons, but I'm not alone. Howard Stern was suing their asses, and if you think he's the only guy suing a radio company these days, you're wrong. There are other prominent individuals who have filed lawsuits against radio companies. And the reason why is very simply this. There's a game being played with the numbers. Ever since the implosion of the economy, and ever since the very definite implosion of the radio industry, which you wouldn't even believe, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to me right now, and I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing, and I hope I'm here for many a day. But you would not even believe what has happened to the radio industry. It's on its ass. It's all there is to it. Now, you're listening to me. It doesn't make any difference to you, and that's fine, you know. But and you're listening to all of your, you know, favorite hosts, blah, 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 blah. But the truth is that the talk radio as we know it, it has been trashed so thoroughly by the broadcast executives. They have destroyed the talk radio format to the point where all it is either conservative talk or some guy telling you how to fix your carburetor on your jalopy or something. That's about it. And everything else has been marginalized by stupid, unimaginative people. So there's all kinds of lawsuits happening. There's all kinds of lawsuits happening. Howard Stern's lawsuit against Sirius, just one of the lawsuits filed against Sirius. Another lawsuit was filed by their subscribers. The whole reason for this is very simply put. There's a lot of money involved here. And this guy, Karmazin, went $500 million in the hole to buy XM just so he could buy the competition, just so he could wipe out the competition. He couldn't counter-program them. He couldn't compete against them. He went out and he bought them with money he didn't have. He got the FCC to approve it, thus destroying whatever, you know, competitive balance there might be in satellite radio. With one fell swoop, the FCC completely gutted that by allowing Mel Karmazin, with no money, to buy XM. He's up to his ass in hock, $500 million. Somehow he's still hanging on. They wanted to throw his ass out. They wanted to fire him as the chairman of the board. That didn't happen. Mel's a tough guy. Mel knows how to survive. There's a lot of guys in radio that are real tough. They're real scrap. These executives in radio, I'm telling you, I've never seen guys hang on longer. The guy that ran ABC, whose name escapes me, it doesn't make any difference, this slob had basically bankrupted that company, and he still was hanging on. I'm not talking about the new guy. I'm
talking about a new guy running Cumulus.
Not that guy. I'm talking about the guy that was running ABC. That jackass, I'm telling you, he ran it right into the ground. And still got some kind of a golden parachute out of it.
I'm sure.
What are you laughing at?
Golden parachute.
That's not the same thing, man. That's not what your filthy mind's thinking about. It's different.
Oh. You see, he got a golden shower.
No, I said...
Get it. Ow!
Say that? He got a golden parachute.
Probably should have got...
Shut up, bud. So and then the Sirius subscribers are suing their ass. So Sirius is not serious. You know, they don't pay anybody over there. The cats that are working on the air over there, some of them are really nice guys and very talented guys. They ain't getting paid, man. They're not getting paid. This is the brand new paradigm, the new model that's being adopted in radio, just so you know. They're not paying talent anymore. They're saying, well, you guys can go out and get your websites. We'll be the promotional. They're not saying it, because if they said it, they would hasten the demise of the business even faster than they already have. But what they're basically doing is they're saying, oh, you guys, we don't have to pay you, because you guys have websites. You're making all kinds of money on your podcast. You're making all kinds of money on your merchandise. You know, because these guys don't own anything anymore. I will tell you this. Never again, if I stay in radio, never again will I ever allow a radio company to own any part of me.
What about the shows?
Any part of me, nothing. Nothing. Never again, man. First of all, they don't know what to do with it. Second of all, they got no right. They can't do their job. They can't sell. They can't affiliate. They can't do anything. I'll be a son of a gun. I'm going to let them own my hard work. The only hard work that's being done. So that's it in a nutshell. You know, that's it in a nutshell. It's not an industry anymore. It's a series of garages and carports that you park yourself in. And that's about, and they're about as effective as those. Let's see, who else is suing somebody?
Well, I can't say that one.
Yeah, there's a few that we can't mention, but it's happening, and it's happening all over, and we'll keep you up to date on it, because I can tell you this time next year, we're gonna break. No, I'm kidding. This time after the break, I'll tell you what we'll do this time next year. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is your world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman, we have promised to get back on the line here tonight with us to talk about this embarrassment to the president of our certain members of the military, Harvey, as well as the Secret Service, cavorting with prostitutes, right?
Yeah, the story that I've got from Dale Pritchard, who's with he's a retired Secret Service guy, but I've known Dale since we were both in the Marine Corps, is that they were down there, as you know, ahead of time. Hold on for a minute. Give me a pull it up here. They were down there ahead of time, and they what was that?
That's a mute. Turn that down, bud.
I don't want him fooling around. Could you get him away?
He's not going to fool around. Turn it down, bud, and go ahead, Harvey.
So what happened was this. They went down ahead of time. They knew that they had a lot of preparation to go through and so forth, but for some reason they started getting involved in the with the prostitutes and everything. The guys going out, you know. And
a lot of people saying boys will be boys.
Well, you can say boys will be boys, but you're the president of the United States is your responsibility, and you're down there drinking, and you are cavorting with the people you cavort with.
Prostitutes.
Yes, with prostitutes. And yeah. And so the.
Do you need some coffee or?
We're going to get some. So, Eddie, pull in. I got Eddie with me tonight who's driving. And
oh, okay, good, good.
Right, so that's what I said to.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, good.
How you doing, Lord? I'll be ready.
All right. Give me a cup of coffee, will you, kid? And give me, what do you want, Eddie? Give me a couple of Cokes.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill?
Give me that. You want a burrito? Get a burrito, okay?
All right.
Can we get back to this?
Oh, yeah. Hold on, kid. So, you know, what surprised me was that these guys would be so unprofessional. He's the president of the United States. And you better pull your head up out of your rear end, and you better get,
All right.
Yeah, you got that. What's the price on that?
Hey, Bill?
No, that's it.
All right, you're closing me $7.47.
All right, thanks. And what do you want?
Well, I don't know if I'm talking about something else.
What do you want? You want to have a hot dog or a cheese dog or something?
You know what, Harvey? We're on the air.
I'm sorry, Bill. Just.
Yeah, did I get a hot dog?
Yeah, you can get a hot dog. Get anything you want. God, go around, back through.
Okay, are you all finished ordering?
Yeah, Eddie wants a hot dog.
Yeah, I won't get a hot dog. Can I get some cheese on it?
Yeah, you can put cheese on it. Hey, Bill, will they put cheese on a hot dog?
Yeah, I don't know. Where are you?
We're at the hot dog. We're at Schnitzel City.
Schnitzel City?
Yeah, it's Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Der Wiener Schnitzel, okay. All right, so what is the end game here, Harvey? What is the punishment?
Well, first of all, you want to contain the damage. You got to find out, the first thing you got to find out were any laws broken, etc. You got to find out if any laws were broken. You got to find out, was anybody drunk?
All right,
you're
right.
Yeah,
go ahead, Lord, I'll be ready.
Can I get a hot dog and
you want a cheese on it?
Yeah, get a hot dog and cheese.
All right.
Hey, Bill? You got the fries, curly fries?
Yeah, you got the curly fries for the kid? Huh? You got those?
All right.
Okay, got him.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah, can I get...
When are we going to get back to doing the show?
Oh, hold on for a minute, will you, Phil? For God's sake. Come on, hurry up, Eddie.
Yeah, I got the hot dog with cheese. Get out a little dab with the sauerkraut. You want sauerkraut?
All right.
Yeah.
Put some sauerkraut.
Hey,
yeah, put some sauerkraut on it for the kid, will you?
All right. It's closing at 7:47.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right, Phil. Sorry. So it's raining out here, by the way. Did you know that? That it's raining?
I can imagine it is.
Yeah. So anyway, it all depends on any laws are broken. But you heard what the chief of staff said today. He said that we let the boss down. That's their job. Their job is to protect the president.
Hey,
how you doing? Get some napkins, too, will you?
Jackie, we got napkins? I'm getting some napkins.
All right.
Yeah. Got it? Hey, you. Hey, you. You.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Give me some napkins.
All right.
Thanks.
Oh, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
What are you laughing at?
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. every night here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. It's Monday night. It's now Tuesday morning. And that means that we've gotten through Monday. And I don't know why Monday is hard, but it just is, you know.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying, man? Like, you take a day off, it's good.
2 days is not enough. It just isn't enough. For me, I don't know, some guys, they can do more, or they can do more on less, but I need more time off. I don't know. But Monday rolls around, and it's like I've just started getting relaxed, and here's Monday. It's kind of like vacations, and this is not a function of anything other than just, I guess, who I am, but I've always taken 1 week vacations. I've never had the guts, except for one time in the last 2 years. I went to the Caribbean. That was in 2010, 2 years ago. I went to the Caribbean for 2 weeks because I had that opportunity. But I usually have only taken 1 week, and that's it. 1 week is not any kind of a vacation. It's fine, but you can't really unwind, man. You've got to have, I've found now, 2 weeks. Because that two-week vacation I took down there in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, that was a beautiful thing, man. I mean, I really chilled out, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that and all that booze.
No, it's not the booze. I wasn't a teetotaler or anything, but no, it's just you get used to not working. That's what it's all about. That's what you're supposed to do. Is suddenly, I feel what it's like to have your day to yourself and not have to go anywhere or do anything. But I've never had really, other than that one time, I've never had the guts to take 2 weeks off. I just have never wanted to do that, you know. Any time we take away from the radio show now has to do with TV jobs and stuff. But I'll tell you, of all the places that I've been, that it was worth the 2 weeks, it was St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I got to tell you, man, I've never been to a more beautiful place in my life. And there's plenty of places that are beautiful, but this place was the real deal. I think the thing that shocked me more than anything else, as I told you, was the fact that it was the Caribbean. The Caribbean, I've never liked the Caribbean. Never in my life, because I don't think the people are all that friendly. In fact, I think the people are downright rude in the Caribbean. When somebody said, you know, let's go down to the St. Vincent and the Grenadines, I was very skeptical. But I thought, what the hell? So, because it was a resort hotel, and I figure they can't screw up, otherwise you know, they're going to get fired. No,
Well, it's true, though.
Well, okay. But in any event. And the guy I met, it was very interesting, went down to this hotel I went to, I got to tell you about. Because it's nuts. The story's nuts. I go down to this island in the country of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
Now, who's he?
What do you mean, who's he?
St. Vincent.
It's the name of the country, man. It's the island. It's the main island, St. Vincent, and the Grenadines are a bunch of little smaller islands. And way, way to the south is Grenada, see? But it's a different country, but it's kind of called, you know, the Grenadines, Grenada.
That part of the Grenadines?
No, man. What I just told you is it's not, but it's not. And then there is what the hell is that one country everybody makes fun of? It's a bunch of island nations. It's called the Eastern Caribbean. The Eastern Caribbean has its own economic union. It has its own. There is a Eastern Caribbean economic union where they share currency, and they have a they're all the English speaking islands, and they have a common market. And it's very, very smart. It's something that the Caribbean countries have wanted to do for a long time, but they've never had the political unity. If they could form a Caribbean economic union, like Europe has, and so on and so forth, they would be an actual real force. They would be an economic force that, you know, could do some real good for their people, and at the same time, they would be a player on the international stage. But it hasn't happened yet. Part of the Caribbean has formed this economic union. St. Vincent and the Grenadines are a part of that. And when you go to the country, it's a beautiful place. The people are very, very warm. And why wouldn't you be living in paradise the way they do? But before you get there, you take a plane from Miami, or you can take it from Atlanta. It depends on where you're coming from. I think some people actually flew in from, I think there might be a direct flight from Chicago, but you got to land in Aruba. Okay.
Yeah, I hear Aruba's pretty bitching.
No, it ain't. No. Not from what I saw of Aruba. What I saw of Aruba, it was, not Aruba, Barbados. That was it. The Barbados. Barbados are the rudest bastards I ever met in my life. And we landed there, and not only was it was a cluster, you know what, man, trying to figure out how the hell to get through. I never went through customs more times in my life than in that stupid, messed up country. Because you get off the plane, you're going through the immigration, then you got to go into the thing, and then you go back through immigration, and then oh yeah, I got to go through customs again, like 15 different times to go through this. And nobody's going to help you with anything. Nobody knows anything. Nobody wants to answer any questions. You know, to hell with you people, man. And I was reminded of why the hell it was that I didn't want to go to that stinking part of the world in the first place. But then we take this little, I told you, this one engine, it's a two engine prop.
That doesn't scare me.
No, it was beautiful, man. It was fantastic. It was a two engine prop. It took off from Barbados, and you fly an hour. You're flying out over the most gorgeous water you ever saw in your life. It's all turquoise. You're looking down at coral reefs. You're looking off in the distance, and there's these islands, man, that, you know, you don't know. It's like palm trees. Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, it goes very quickly. You're taking pictures, and...
I hear a really loud old planes, though.
It's very loud. You know, you're flying on a prop job, you're the... really freaking loud. And then you see your little landing strip. You see your island that you're going to land at, this little Union Island. And the pilot did a big U-turn... And he came right in low, right between two mountains, and boom, we hit this little airstrip, just as beautiful as you want. And, of course, at the end of that airstrip is, you know, it goes into ocean, so you're...
I bet you were sweating that.
Well, only because I don't know what, you know, I didn't know what, but it's, of course, it stopped, and...
But if it didn't?
What do you mean, what if it didn't?
What do you mean, what if it didn't? If it didn't, I'm going to be in the water. Yeah, if it didn't, you'd be going swimming, huh?
Yeah, I guess so, bud. What if it didn't? Anyway, so yeah, it stopped. And we got out. We went through the customs there, which was about as simplest thing you've ever... It's one lady at a desk, you know. And, hi, how are you? Welcome to... well, thank you very much. Is that your thing? Okay, you're done. Thanks. I mean, whatever. And got into a golf cart. The dude takes us down to a bar, and there's the boat. So there's a boat that's going to take you over to this hotel, but there's also a bar there. So I get it. All right, it's time to start spending money. And
yeah, they're going to expect you to spend a little bit of money.
I don't mind spending money that way at all. Believe you me. I got off that plane. I wanted a drink. And we started to, you know, tipple a few drinks, got on the thing and took off, man. And that was the beginning of something beautiful. But the island, I got to tell you this about this guy. It was an American. An American who came down there and built this hotel himself. And he planted the palm trees himself, and he did this stuff himself, you know, with a construction crew. And, I mean, this was a hand-built hotel. And the guy's story is like something out of the Heart of Darkness. I mean, he's this American guy who is a sailor and brought his family down there. But gradually, his morality and his mind started to go because the cat, while he's building this hotel... And he's obviously making friends with the locals, and he's brought his wife down there, and I think he brought some kids down there with him. But gradually he began to cohabitate with one or two of the native women, too, you know?
What do you mean, with his wife there?
Yeah, with his wife is there. And suddenly it became something, like I said, like right out of the heart of darkness, you know.
What do you mean the heart of darkness? Like the jungle all rotted his brain out? Yeah, that'll happen. What do you mean it'll happen, man?
Oh, no, I'm not saying the jungle rotted his brain. I just, it's like, you know, it's like that story of Conrad. You know, he went into the jungle and suddenly he just became a maniac. I'm not saying the jungle does it to you. I'm saying that being away from any kind of civilization, no matter where you are, you can turn a little bit kind of rat, you know. And this guy let his mind and his morality just sort of drift, so he's sleeping with these native women, he's cohabitating. He put his wife in one of the bungalows on the beach. And here's the sad part of this. This cat had a million-dollar idea, and he had this million-dollar property that he sort of had going. And he was getting interest from companies to buy it from him. Big hotels were coming in, and big investors. Not necessarily the big hotel chains, but guys with money and guys that knew about resort hotel management and knew how to, you know, turn this thing into like the really sterling gold property. But right now, they were offering this guy some serious change. He butchered the whole thing up.
Why?
Because he insisted with any deal that he be retained as the project, as the property manager.
Oh, so he gets to keep his job on a hotel.
So he could stay there. He could live there, yeah. And nobody went for it. And the guy wound up selling to the gentleman that I met. I met this guy one night. We were having drinks. Very nice guy, an American from Chicago, who owns about five or six real sweet boutique resort hotels around the world. You know, a guy in his 60s. Nice guy, very classy guy. I wouldn't call a guy, you know, stuffy. Just a regular American businessman. And we were talking about this. He says, you know... I said, well, do you mind me asking? He said, well, I gave him a price and they took it. Because the guy, by that point, realized he'd messed up and he'd passed up some fantastic deals.
So he had to sell it cheaper?
Oh, yeah. By the time this dude came in, he lowballed him. And he told me, I did. I lowballed a guy. I says, I mean, what do you want me to do? I'm a businessman. And he screwed up. And so I think what happened was the bread that he made from this guy that bought it went to paying off lawyers. It went to paying off of lawsuits. I don't think he saw dime one, you know. And this is what becomes of brilliance. You know, these guys with these great ideas, but they there's no follow through, you know.
Well, I mean, he built the hotel. Do you know what the kind of money they were offering?
Who was offering?
The guys before.
They were offering really good money, man. They were offering seriously good money that was going to get him out of hock, was going to pay off these lawsuits, and he's going to have a nice piece of change left. They were, you know, but he kept insisting, I want to be property manager. I want to stay here. I want you to guarantee. No. Until finally his ass was, and the guy that I spoke with, the gentleman who owns the place now, I think he knew this guy's, you know, the Gibbs is a good businessman. He knew this guy's financial situation. He knew what this cat's weaknesses were. He knew he could lowball him. And he did. And the guy made just enough money to get his ass out of hock, but that was it. But he was a brilliant man. He saw this island. He saw the potential. He built this hotel. I saw the water processing plant that he built. I saw the pumps that he put in. I saw all the stuff this guy put in, and he didn't get anything out of it at the end. So let that be a lesson. Something, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, let that be a lesson. Don't build a hotel on an island and then sleep with the native women.
Yeah, and then wait for the right price that never comes along.
Yeah, that's right. In other words, if your life is just like that, guys.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of these scintillating, marvelous tales to tell here in our News and Information Hour. Just remember, don't ever live your life like the guy that built that hotel down there on that island and slept with the native women. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It is a world-famous Phil Henry Show, and every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, our website, philhenryshow.com. Head over, get a backstage pass, and watch the show as well as listen to it. We're on live streaming video Every single show, we have our Phil TV and HD cranking. And you can watch and you can, you know, make up your mind. You know, am I a metal case or what? Speaking of being a metal case, I mentioned that Paul Gilmartin had me on his podcast, which is called The Mental Health Happy Hour. You must check out Paul Gilmartin's podcast. It's quite an impressive show. He's got fans all over the world. And Paul's a comic, but his podcast is a serious effort at talking to people. People in the arts, I guess, in entertainment, about real, you know, their issues. You know, how were you raised? What was your relationship with your mom? It's you know, you have to agree to go on a show. And I thought, oh, that'd be kind of cool to do. So it was fun, and it was cool to talk about it. I've never thought, you know, other than with a head shrinker, when would you ever have the opportunity to talk about a lot of this stuff? And I also was able to get into the background of our radio show and how I came about developing all of the characters. So that'll be in a couple of weeks. It's called the Mental Health Happy Hour. So check that out. All right. Don't forget to visit our souvenir shop, too. The brand new, not to take advantage of a bad situation, because we did have our hoodies out before the whole George Zimmerman thing. But we do have hoodies. It's the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. Check it out. Okay. The tax deadline has passed, man. Okay?
Yeah, right there. See?
I know. It says April 16th. What is the story here?
Well, just let people know.
Okay. Hey, you guys, you're late with your taxes, bud.
Yeah, well, they're late now.
Yeah, I know they're late. You know, just you get an extension and you're going to be good. Okay? If you didn't get the extension, well, then I guess you're going to have to pay. You know?
Yeah, you didn't pay like for a long time, right?
Well, now, who asked you to tell everybody that?
Well, I mean, you were talking about it.
Yeah, what do you think, like, people don't know?
No, what do you mean, do I think people don't know? I didn't ask you guys or authorize you guys to tell anybody about my tax history, if you don't mind.
Yeah, but you probably don't think your stuff smells.
Yeah, you think you're farting lilacs.
Will you shut up? Now that you've, as Oliver Hardy used to say, now that you've taken them into our confidence, there was 4 or 5 years there, man. We've all done it. If we haven't all done it, we're all gonna do it. There were 4 or 5 years. I just didn't file my income tax. And I was sweating it. But one of those things came through town. At the time, I was in Minneapolis, and it was many years, well, you know, it's going on 20 years ago now. And the IRS blew through town with their IRS carnival, which they basically said, if you are delinquent in filing, the Internal Revenue Service is in town to provide for you whatever the hell they call it, a grace period. We're going to, you know, grant you a grace period or however. And we have our IRS guys that are there, and they'll do your taxes. And I thought, that's as good a chance as I'm going to get.
You go down and do it?
Yeah, I did. And I went, it was in St. Paul, and I went into this office where there were, I don't know, probably a half a dozen to a dozen IRS agents there. And I said, hi, I haven't filed in this many years. Okay, Mr. Andrew, blah, 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 boom. Make a long story short, I mean, I finally got my taxes caught up on, but I owed bread, you know.
Yeah, they give you a payout, right?
They give you a payment plan, yeah. And I think about it now, I couldn't owe that much money, because if I was able to take care of it with a payment plan of, I think it was $400 or $500 bucks a month, it couldn't have been that much, you know. But I wasn't earning that much money in those days. Nowadays, you know, I earn a little bit more money, but I also get these big, fat-ass tax returns.
Yeah, I saw that one check you got.
What do you mean, you saw it?
I mean...
Yeah. What are you doing, buddy? You opening the mail?
No, you opened it up and left it laying out there.
No, I don't leave any checks laying out no place. Where'd you guys see it?
Well, maybe it was...
Oh, man, I'm going to have you guys... You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn that security camera on again.
No, I swear to God, somebody showed it to me.
Well, I didn't show it to you. In any event, I get a better tax return. But be that as may, the only point that I'm trying to make here, folks, is, you know, do your stinking taxes and then also find, you know, a good accountant and incorporate if you have to, and, you know, all those things.
What's the good thing about incorporating?
If you have a corporation, then it's the corporation and it's not you. The corporation has all this money, and the corporation that is your corporation pays you a salary. And the salary that you, the individual, gets is going to be a lot less, obviously, or it should be less than what the corporations do. You never want to just gut your corporation every freaking paycheck. So you take your paycheck and you pay your taxes on that, and then the corporate taxes are paid quarterly. And it's a much better way of shielding your income. Plus, you can get a retirement thing going. So it's all it's very, very cool. Things that are coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show this week, we'll be giving away a Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. We're also going to give away some shot glasses, so check that out. We'll make an announcement on the website when we do that. We also have, another website for you to check out. I'll be giving you the name of that and exactly the significance of that and what you can do to have fun with that. But we have a second. Now, it won't be a subscription site. The primary site is always going to be this one. The primary Phil Hendry headquarters will be this one, and my BSP family will always be my BSP family. This is a way of getting more BSP family members. We'll hip you to where this particular site is and its particular function and, you know, in the days to come. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show until tonight at 10 on the West Coast, 1 on the East Coast. Have a nice day.
Bye, everybody.
Phil Hendry.